we talked last week about the just-released Healthy Wisconsin Initiative, a plan aimed at improving the health of Wisconsinites in several key areas: alcohol, nutrition and physical activity, opioid suicide, and tobacco.
But how will these recommendations be put into practice? A key official from the Wisconsin Department of Health Services joins us now for a look at how the state will try to boost public health.
Karen McEwen joins us now. She's the state health officer for Wisconsin. Karen, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, first, briefly, how did the Department of Health Services come up with these areas of improvement?
We didn't come up with these on our own. We pulled together a steering committee that was made up mostly of people that do not work for the state, but who live in communities and work in places around Wisconsin. So we had rural representatives, people from cities, people from various backgrounds, but who are experts and know a lot about health and what's happening in public health. And they applied some criteria to a lot of different issues to help identify what would make a big difference if we could move the needle between now and about 2020.
So you've got your goal set. You know the areas that you need to improve upon. So now what is the first step? How do you go about turning that into actionable items that people can get on board with and that there can be partnerships involving and all to get to this mutual goal of making Wisconsin healthier?
So the first step was identifying these focus areas. And then the next step is going to be to pull together teams of people, again, experts who know a lot now about these subjects, to help put together recommendations and specific plans that communities can implement to make a difference for health. And then a second piece is that we'll be asking communities to share what they are doing in these areas and share success stories so that other communities across Wisconsin can learn from each other and implement best practices.
And I gather the goals set by this Healthy Wisconsin report have 2020 as the time when some of the improvements should be visible. Why 2020?
So the Healthy Wisconsin was built on the framework of an existing 10-year state health plan, and that called Healthiest Wisconsin 2020. And so this was an opportunity to spend the last years of that plan trying to really focus on some important issues and try to move the needle. And then in 2020, we'll be developing another 5-year plan for moving forward.
And one of the report's objectives is to increase the consumption of healthy foods and beverages, probably not so much soda on that list. Can you talk about some of the main strategies centered around having people make healthier choices, eat healthier stuff?
Absolutely. So eating healthy and being physically active is really important to maintaining health throughout our lives, so that as we get older, we can continue to be healthy and active. So some of the activities will involve making sure that healthy beverages and healthy foods are available in a variety of venues. So we work with schools, we work with workplaces, we work with communities to make sure that people have access to healthy foods and beverages.
And so what if those options are there? Let's say you're a student at a school and now you have a salad bar maybe, and you didn't have a salad bar before. What can you do to change the behavior so that the student chooses, you know, the salad bar instead of hamburger and fries?
Absolutely. Well, so that's a great example is schools, because some of the schools around the state are practicing having school gardens as well. And what they're learning is that sometimes when students grow the vegetables, they're a lot more interested in tasting them, trying them out, and finding out that, oh, it turns out I really do like vegetables. So there are strategies in place to help create that demand as well.
And what about addressing areas that might not have access because they might be something, a place deemed a food desert, where there's just not a place to buy healthy food? What are some strategies there?
So that's another thing that communities around the state are looking at. And those strategies can range from bringing in small points of sale, working with existing vendors to see if there are ways that they could bring in some healthier options. And then certainly some communities are looking at how could they have a grocery store in their area.
We're talking with Karen McEwen right now, state health officer for Wisconsin, and she's with us to talk about the new Healthy Wisconsin initiative that looks to move the needle on a variety of goals by the year 2020. Areas like alcohol consumption, nutrition, exercise, opioids, mental health, and tobacco. And Karen, in terms of what could be brought in to give people better options, sticking with nutrition, for instance, but I guess this could be applied to any number. Will there be any sort of a metric to incentivize these choices for people or for the stores and businesses that can provide the food?
So part of what we'll be doing is pulling together a group of people that are experts in this field and having them put together policy recommendations that communities can pick from so that every community can look and see in our area what's most likely to work well. Some of the toolkits that already exist provide sort of a starting point to have conversations with grocery stores and other food sellers, with restaurants, with schools, with child care centers, so that all of those different settings can look at what would work really well for them to help provide healthy options in communities.
Okay, and let's talk about another area now, increasing physical activity. And this is one that you can have an amped up, let's say, physical education program in a school if you're someone who's outside that school zone and you have to make these choices on your own. How do you get people to choose to exercise more?
So starting in school and even earlier than school age is definitely a good place to focus. And so in addition to physical education programs, some schools are looking at how can they have kids more active throughout the day. Beyond school, as you say, one thing that communities look at is allowing the community to use school facilities after school hours. And so that's an approach that some communities are using. I also know that a lot of communities in Wisconsin are really trying to promote what Wisconsin already offers, which is a lot of opportunities to get out and be physically active. And some communities are doing that by building or expanding walking and biking trails so that people have a safe place to engage in those activities without having to worry about traffic.
And I suppose for a lot of this, it's education, getting the word out that these resources will be there.
Absolutely.
Mental health. We haven't touched on mental health yet. What are some of the goals and thoughts about how they might be achieved?
So several of these issues do touch on mental health, and that includes suicide, opioid misuse, and alcohol. And so we're working closely with our mental health partners to look at those, and actually all five of them, because people who struggle with mental health diagnoses also may struggle to eat healthy food, be physically active, and then smoking is also an issue. So working closely with mental health partners, I think public health and mental health haven't always seen each other as vital partners, and that conversation is really happening at the state level and in communities. And then trying to see what do each of us bring to the table so that we can really enhance our work.
Right. That's an interesting point, Karen, that a lot of these, we may think of them as discrete areas of discipline on their own, eating healthfully, getting exercise, staying away from tobacco. But how much overlap is there? If everyone comes together and comes up with a coordinated strategy, is that something that you're looking at to be more comprehensive going forward?
Absolutely. We're hoping that if we can get people across the state to work on as many of these five priorities, and by having it five that it's a manageable list, that we can really make a difference and that we can maybe get some non-traditional partners looking at these issues as well. And then the steering committee also recognized that one of several themes that runs through these is adverse childhood experiences, that children who have had adverse experiences as they were growing up are also more likely to struggle with these and other health issues.
Right, we talked about that quite a bit on the show last week. Any thoughts about how to address those adverse childhood experiences and help the child in the moment so that the future is brighter?
Absolutely. So obviously the first thing we'd like to do would be to prevent children from experiencing these adverse experiences. But if they do, early intervention is certainly key, and trying to make sure that those experiences don't pile on. These adverse childhood experiences sort of have a dose effect. So if you have one, that's difficult. But if you start having four or more, then we really see worse outcomes. So trying to find the children who've had one or two experiences and then provide them additional resources. And then even kids who've had many adverse childhood experiences, we know, for example, that the presence of a caring adult in their life can make a huge difference.
We'll leave it there. Karen, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thank you so much.
That was Karen McEwen, State Health Officer for Wisconsin, with us there to talk about the new Healthy Wisconsin Initiative.